we're gonna take a trip right now. Like we always do about this time.
This is a journey into sound. Break it
down. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. Up first, on this week's show, I'll talk with the Indianapolis jazz saxophonist Rob Dixon. He was recently named Artist in Residence for IUPUI's Center for Africana Studies and Culture. After that, we'll explore two excellent new holiday music releases. The Indianapolis rock band Wife Patrol will join me to discuss their new single, Christmas 96. And I'll talk with jazz pianist Isaiah J. Thompson, winner of the American Pianist Association's 2023 Cole Porter Jazz Fellowship. Isaiah has a new album out titled Giraldi Holiday, a tribute to the Charlie Brown Christmas music of Vince Giraldi. For many Hoosier music fans, saxophonist Rob Dixon has become the face of Indianapolis's contemporary jazz scene. Musicians in the city call Rob the mayor, an acknowledgement of his importance in Indianapolis. Rob has an extraordinary history in music. Among his credits, Rob has toured with the legendary sax player and bandleader Illinois Jacquette, and recorded with hip-hop pioneers Fife Dog and Ali Shaheed Muhammad of A Tribe Called Quest. Rob's contributions to Indiana music have been recognized by IUPUI's Center for Africana Studies and Culture. They named him their 2023 and 2024 Artist in Residence. I recently spoke with Rob Dixon, and we discussed his residency at the university. Let's join our conversation. Rob, you were recently named Artist in Residence for IUPUI's Center for Africana Studies and Culture. The project will extend from 2023 to 2025, and you'll be creating a series of events for the residency. I want to ask you about those events individually and projects, but first, just tell me what this means to you. I know you do a lot of projects and you have a long history. You've accomplished a lot in your career, but is this a significant moment for you as an artist?
It is, in the fact that I get to, you know, work on projects and create and collaborate with people at IUPUI, and I have to thank Les Etienne and Dr. Lasana Kazembe for looking out and approaching me about having an artist in residency there and doing a number of projects that would be significant to the community of Indianapolis and, you know, a chance to work with people in the Africana Studies department or area. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited about working with them.
Yeah,
for sure.
There were three major initiatives announced that are associated with this residency, and I wanted to ask you about them each individually.
Okay.
The first will be a lecture series, the
right.
Salon Noir. Tell us about this lecture series.
So the lecture series is just talk about significant topics in Indianapolis, African-American culture, and to have guests as well. I mean, I've actually design one where I talk about the significant influence of Wes Montgomery and just the impact he had, just not only here in Indianapolis, but the world impact that he had, and not just being the most influential guitarist probably of all time, but the father of instrumental pop and smooth jazz and all the significant records he made at A&M, you know, that kind of just created a new genre of music.
That could be a class in itself, a whole semester, right?
Absolutely. The influence of Wes. Yes, absolutely.
Will these lectures be open to the public, or is this geared towards students at IUPUI?
No, it's for the community at large. So students, we want to attract students, but also bring in people from the community and anybody that wants to, you know, learn about the different topics.
You'll also be leading a youth-focused educational series titled Jazz in the 21st Century, which includes a partnership with IPS. Tell us about the youth-oriented educational programming you'll be creating.
Okay, sure. Absolutely. So Jazz in the 21st Century has been a program that I've developed with the Indianapolis Jazz Foundation over the years, and bringing this into the Artist in Residence program, I'm excited about it because we can get kids inspired about music and teach them about the great legacy of jazz here in Indianapolis and how significant this city is, you know, because a lot of young people just don't know about it. And, you know, get them excited about playing musical instruments because IPS is making a concerted efforts to start, you know, introducing kids back to music in elementary and middle school. I think that it would be something that would be transformative and brilliant. So I'm happy to be a part of that.
And finally, Rob, you'll be creating a composition titled 10,000 Ships as part of this residency. Tell us about this piece.
So 10,000 Ships is a song that I wrote a few years ago, and I want to develop it even further. And, you know, I play the song a lot with my group and Sleepy, who's in the studio, Richard Sleepy Floyd. But the 10,000 Ships is definitely about the Middle Passage, and I recently did a tour in Ghana this past August, and it actually really opened my eyes to the importance to develop a program called 10,000 Ships and talk about, like, you know, the legacy of African American culture and how significant it is, and the birthplace of the culture, and how music and American culture, it's just so much influenced and inspired by African American culture.
Congratulations, Rob. I'm excited to see one of our local academic institutions properly acknowledging you and your work and the significance of what you do. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having me on the show.
Let's listen to a track from Rob Dixon's most recent album, Coast to Crossroads. This is Wishing Well, featuring Charlie Hunter on guitar and Mike Clark on drums. That was Rob Dixon with Wishing Well. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. The Indianapolis rock band Wife Patrol gained national attention for their 2020 debut LP, Too Prickly for This World. Bandcamp highlighted the album as a new and notable release, describing the group's music as catchy alt-rock with streaks of punk, new wave, and metal. And Afropunk selected the album as a new release you need to hear, praising Wife Patrol's indelible hooks and defiant verses. Wife Patrol have a new holiday-themed single out titled Christmas 96. The group joined me via Zoom to discuss the band's relationship with Christmas music and the nostalgic themes explored in the song.
I'm Nicole O'Neill. I play bass and sing in Wife Patrol.
Hi, I'm Natasha O'Neill, and I play drums and sing in Wife Patrol.
I am Greg O'Neill, and I play guitar and sing in Wife Patrol.
Thank you all for joining me today. We last spoke in 2020 after the release of your excellent album, Too Prickly for This World, and you have an amazing new single out titled Christmas 96. And holiday-themed music can sometimes be a divisive genre. Before we talk about the song, I'm curious if you're all fans of Christmas music. Nicole, I know you're an enthusiastic fan of Christmas music, movies, TV shows. Is that a shared sentiment among the band?
I will let y'all speak for yourselves.
Not to the degree as Nicole, the same degree, but I definitely have a fondness for a lot of Christmas music, and we make a kind of ritual, I mean, among many rituals around Christmas time, of listening to the Charlie Brown Christmas album when we put up our tree. So what about you?
Yeah, I would say Nicole definitely carries the torch as the Christmas champion of the band. But that fondness is felt, you know, just like many people in our shoes, where it evokes memories from childhood and, you know, even things that maybe at one time I wasn't a fan of, I've become a fan over the years.
Nicole, every December you take to social media to share your love of Christmas movies and music and pop culture. What is it about Christmas music and movies that appeal so strongly to you?
Honestly, I think it's similar. It's just rituals. Like, Christmas movies were the thing that was on in my house when we put up our trees, plural. There are many Christmas rituals for those who know me, but for those who don't, I believe last year at my mother's house, we had around 16 Christmas trees up in the house. That number is counting. She just came to visit me last month and bought 4 more trees. I have just put up 5 trees at my house, and I mean fully decorated trees for all of them. And, you know, listening to Christmas music, I love to make fun reviews of Hallmark and Lifetime Christmas movies. It's just something that I've done for a long time. And it's the time of the year where I feel joy, and I take joy in watching those movies, listening to the music, putting up the trees, looking at the decorations. It's just a great time for me generally.
Well, this must be a meaningful project for you. And I want to talk about the single Christmas 96. Did the band set out to create a Christmas song? How did this project come together?
So the main bell theme that you hear at the beginning started as a guitar riff that I liked, that not nobody else liked, but just it wasn't turning into anything cool as a song. And then one day I put it on bells and I was like, this sounds really Christmas. I think Nicole is really going to like this. So then it became a very self-consciously Christmas song.
Nicole, what did you do at that point to kind of spice up the Christmas flavor?
Well, I remember when y'all had first brought kind of what you'd been working on with this, now it sounds cool on bells. And we both talked about 2 different Christmas songs that kind of had a similar vein to where it was going. You guys had a Pretenders Christmas song.
Yeah.
And then I had shared a song by Letters to Cleo, and they were both kind of Christmas songs that weren't necessarily joy Christmas songs, but still had a lot of Christmas and holiday sentimentality about them, and just kind of seemed in the vein of where this song was heading. So we all kind of sat on that, and the song grew from there.
Nicole, is this your first Christmas-themed work that you've been a part of musically?
Yes, kind of.
Okay.
Yes, in terms of original music. The thing that came to mind that made me say kind of is I remember as a kid, I did do a lot of Christmas caroling. And sometimes my mom would actually kind of help come up with, like, not necessarily completely out there, but somewhat odd arrangements that were appropriate for, you know, elementary school kids that we would do. And we did this in like latchkey programs, we did it in Girl Scouts. So I'd say that's kind of my first experience being out doing holiday singing stuff.
Came up with arrangements how? Like, she would arrange the vocals for the kids and everything? Like,
a little bit, yeah.
Oh my God, that's cool.
Yeah. That is cool. So this is your first recorded Christmas work. How meaningful is that for you? Because you've created something that I think, you know, I'll be playing for years to come on the radio. How does that feel, having this Indiana Christmas classic under your belt now?
That was awesome. I mean, a big part of Christmas time and Christmas experiences is Christmas music. And everybody has their own meanings for this song. Yeah. But the verse that I took was the second verse. And it's very specific to my experience, the first Christmas that my family experienced after my parents got divorced. So the empty seat in that line is the empty seat of my father not being there that year. And then there's a line in there that's Silent Night. And I remember that was the first Christmas that we actually had to go out and find some of the music that we used to listen to every year because my dad actually took some of those records with him. And so we had to kind of go back. I remember like Johnny Mathis Christmas is when we had to go find on like CD Jackson 5 Christmas album. There's a lot of great Christmas albums that we would listen to every year as a family as we opened gifts. And we found that we didn't have those. And we had to go out and re-find some of those things again. And so having Christmas music also so tied to your Christmas traditions and how you feel that time of year, it feels really special to now have created something that people can listen to and have as part of their traditions that I can have as part of my traditions.
Did anyone else want to comment on the lyrics of the track?
The meaning to me is just the high and low of Christmas. Like, as a child, for many kids, Christmas is just this impossibly joyful time. Like, it's almost uncontainably joyful. And then as you get older, it becomes the most, like, emotionally complicated time of the year in a lot of ways. And it's interesting to just kind of follow that trajectory. I guess I consider the song kind of follows that trajectory lyrically.
Any final thoughts you want to share? Any Christmas message you want to send to our listeners in Indiana?
Merry Christmas and happy holidays. That's all, Kyle.
Nicole, Natasha, Greg, thank you for your time. We're going to listen to the record now. This is Wife Patrol with Christmas 96.
Mine's a glow.
That was Wife Patrol with their new single, Christmas 96. Cultural Manifesto will return after this short break. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. For the remainder of this week's show, I'll speak with the jazz pianist Isaiah J. Thompson. Isaiah is only 26 years old, but he's already carved out a distinguished career in music. He's performed with jazz luminaries like Wynton Marsalis, Ron Carter, and Christian McBride. He's recorded a session for NPR's Tiny Desk. And earlier this year, he won the American Pianist Association's Cole Porter Jazz Fellowship. Isaiah's latest project is Garaldi Holiday, a tribute to the Charlie Brown Christmas music of the composer and pianist, Vince Guaraldi. Isaiah will join me in a moment to discuss the project. But first, let's hear a track from the album. This is Christmas Time Is Here. That was Isaiah J. Thompson with Christmas Time Is Here. And Isaiah joins me now via Zoom. Isaiah, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Last time we spoke was in January, and we were discussing your tribute to the great Indianapolis musician and composer Buddy Montgomery. Since then, you won the 2023 American Pianist Award and Cole Porter Fellowship in Jazz. So congratulations, and tell us about that experience. Any reflections you want to share?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I'm really appreciative. I've always said, you know, I don't really think of myself as a pianist. Actually, I think of myself more of a jazz musician than I am a pianist, I guess. And I'm just really fortunate. I'm really grateful. I mean, there's so many ways that could have went. I have some of the greatest friends, and they were, you know, also participating, also finalists, and they sounded incredible. And you know, I love being able to spend time with them. I was also saying throughout the process, it doesn't happen that piano players get to spend this much time together, you know, because we're usually the only ones at a gig, you know, but saxophone players, they get to hang out with other saxophone players, especially if they're the big band, trumpet, brass, whoever it is, but piano players, it doesn't happen. So it was nice just to be able to be around my piano community for some time.
What does the aftermath of winning the competition look like? Because you continue to do performances and represent the organization. Am I correct about that? Tell us about kind of what the next year or so looks like for you as the winner of this competition.
Sure. I think one of the biggest things was I get to spend some time at the University of Indianapolis and do some other outreach things. I was just there, I think, last week, and just getting to work with the students and the department. They have a great person in charge, Dr. Mark O'Connor, and they have some great students. So that was a lot of fun, really being able to work with the students. And, I learned so much from them, and it's cool just getting to spend time with them and have fun just about the music and celebrate jazz, you know.
That's great. And you have an excellent new album out celebrating the work of pianist Vince Guaraldi. The album is titled A Guaraldi Holiday. And I'm a huge, huge fan of Vince Guaraldi. He had an extraordinary career in music, from his Latin jazz work with Cal Jader to his bossa nova recordings with guitarist Bola Cechi. He died way too young. He was 47 years old. But he has become immortalized in American pop culture for the soundtracks he wrote for the animated Charlie Brown and Peanuts specials of the 1960s, including the famous Charlie Brown Christmas special. Your new album pays tribute to Guaraldi's holiday music. Before we talk about that album specifically, I'm curious about your relationship with Vince Guaraldi's music, you know, outside of the holiday stuff, the Charlie Brown stuff. He had a very unique sound and style. Are you a fan of his playing?
Yeah, no, I love his playing. I think it's very, it almost reminds me of Monk in a way. It's very, it sounds simple in a certain way, but when you try to play, you realize it's not. I can appreciate that there's a sort of childlike sophistication to what he's playing, something that I feel like everyone can kind of gather around and say, you know, I understand that, which I think, you know, which I think made a big impression on people, which is why Peanuts, you know, the sound of it, everyone could kind of gravitate towards that, and everyone can kind of say, oh, we understand this thing. I think that's what's so beautiful about his playing.
Yeah, there were like nuances in his style that just kind of immediately stamp it as his work. I can't articulate that in musical terms, but do you hear that too in his playing, this sort of immediately kind of identifiable sound?
Sure. I mean, I think he definitely utilized some specific techniques that, you know, was very, specific to him, you know, things that he would play I haven't seen other people play. He also, you know, was obviously influenced by Afro-Cuban music. He was influenced by the boogie-woogie style of playing. I think all that kind of came together just in him and his writing and how he played. And I think that's what makes it so specific, his sound.
And Vince Guaraldi's Charlie Brown Christmas music has become iconic. And for many people, this was their first point of contact with jazz music itself. Why did you decide to take on this beloved set of holiday music from Vince Guaraldi? Sometimes interfacing with these beloved iconic pieces can kind of ruffle feathers. How did you approach this? And yeah, tell us about interpreting this iconic work.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Thanks to say that. I mean, I can't even tell you when the first time I heard, you know, any of the music from any of the specials was. From as long as I can remember. I mean, my parents both loved it. My mom really loved it. And I can remember watching this special as a kid, her playing it for me, wherever she could find it. And every year listening to that music, you know, listening to music that was from Thanksgiving, listening to music that was from Halloween, you know, Great Pumpkin Waltz, and obviously the Christmas special. And I think it just always had such an impact on me, because I think from an early age, I was lucky enough to realize and say, hey, this is jazz. And I think a lot of people don't always realize that. I think some of the most popular holiday music is jazz. And sometimes we just categorize it as holiday music. And, you know, I think we're in a time, it's strange, where a lot of people who may not have even really listened to jazz, they think that they don't like it. Because a lot of times, this, unfortunately, what the media is telling them is that they don't like it, but they'll put on Vince Guaraldi and not realize, hey, this is not just holiday music. This is jazz, and you actually do like it. So I think that's what's so powerful about it.
The first track I want to share from the album is Christmas is Coming, which infuses a very strong gospel and Latin feel. You really take this piece to a different level. Tell us about Christmas is Coming and your approach to interpreting this.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I honestly feel like I didn't have to do too much, you know? And I'm not someone who, when I go to arrange something or play something, I never want to, you know, completely change the intent of what the composer wanted. I just try to be myself while honoring what was written. So I felt like, you know, at playing with the tambourine, things like that, I felt like that, you know, all that stuff was already in the orbit of what he wrote and what he played. I guess, you know, certain hits or whatever that we played, things like that. I really try to play something. If he hadn't already played it, it's something that he maybe would have played. And then I, you know, there's no choice but for me to sound like myself. That I try to do that every time I play. So hopefully that both those things kind of coming together is why it sounds the way it sounds.
This is Isaiah J. Thompson with Christmas is Coming. That was Isaiah J. Thompson with Christmas is Coming off his new album, Guaraldi Holiday. And Isaiah is my guest this week. Let's return to our conversation. One of the guest artists featured on the record is guitarist John Pizzarelli. He's featured on the track Charlie Brown Theme. He had some touches of Wes Montgomery, I think, on that track. I understand he also did some production on the record. Tell us about John's role in the project.
Yeah, I call him Uncle Pitts.
Okay.
And he, you know, when I first told him, I said, hey, I want to do this recording. I'm playing, you know, would you want to be a part of it? He was like, he couldn't believe it. He was so excited. You know, he loves that music, which is one of the biggest reasons why I wanted him to be a part of it, because I knew he would help lead us in the right direction because he loves it so much. Yeah, I mean, specifically on Charlie Brown Theme, you know, that the whole sound of that is, in my mind, it reminds me of Count Basie, that original rhythm section and the sound of it, you know. And so I wanted to, you know, the chunks on the guitar, you get the Freddie Green style, you know, but also just having the whole rhythm section really, really playing together. I wanted to get that sound. And also, you know, not only honor Vince Guaraldi, but also Count Basie in the way that it sounded. So we were really grateful to have him playing.
This is Isaiah J. Thompson with Charlie Brown Theme, featuring John Pizzarelli on guitar. That was Isaiah J. Thompson with Charlie Brown Theme, featuring John Pizzarelli on guitar. And Isaiah is my guest this week. Let's return to our conversation. And Isaiah, the last track I want to share is the famous Linus and Lucy, maybe one of the most famous and best-known jazz instrumentals of all time. Tell us about taking on this iconic work in the jazz canon.
Sure. Yeah. That's another one of those. I mean, specifically those songs where I can't even tell you the first time I played it. You know, it could be in those children's early, child music books. You know, it could have been my second lesson. Who knows when I first heard it or first attempted to play this piece. And I think one of the things that I always remembered about Linus and Lucy is that swing that they go to towards the end of the song. And a lot of people, either they don't get to that part before they end up, you know, fading it out. But a lot of people, I realized, didn't know that it happened. I was like, you know, they get to that part they're swinging on. And they're like, no. And then I played for them. And they go, oh, right, I haven't heard this in years. And I thought that that was such an important part. I kind of moved it up in the song so that to make sure that you got to that point to hear it. You know, I mean, of course, there's the amazing, the bass line that he created and all of that, all the styles kind of represented in the one song. But I wanted to make sure that people got that feeling before the song was over and they got a chance to hear it.
Isaiah, thank you so much for taking time to talk today. Congratulations again on winning the American Pianist Awards this year. You deserve it. And I can't wait to see what you have coming up next.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
This is Isaiah J. Thompson with Linus and Lucy. That was Isaiah J. Thompson with Linus and Lucy. You can find that track on his new album, Giraldi Holiday. And that's all the time we have for this week. Thank you to my guests, Rob Dixon, Life Patrol, and Isaiah J. Thompson. Listen, download, and subscribe to the Cultural Manifesto podcast at WFYI.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Cultural Manifesto is hosted and produced by me, Kyle Long. Thank you for listening.
Little birdie, why you worry like you do? Don't you worry, you just do what you can do.